For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter by chapter, verse by verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of the Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Idolatry, as we pick up in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Wherefore, dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Run. Get out of there. Now, idolatry is setting up anything in your life or mine before God. It's putting something in your life before the Lord. That's idolatry. You are wrong if you think of idolatry as having a little idol that you've carved out or someone else has carved out and you've bought and you kneel in front of it and do your little thing before it as you burn candles around it and you pray to it and all. No. That will probably be no problem to any of you. Your idolatry is far more apt to have a shiny coat of paint, beautiful upholstery, and a turbo engine inside. Something that gets in your heart, your mind, your life, and precedes your walk with God. It becomes more important to you than your walk with God. Something that replaces God in your life. That's the idol. Flee idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge what I'm telling you. The cup of blessing, which we bless, that is, when we gather together at the Lord's table and we take the cup and we bless it, this cup of blessing that we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The word communion there is that interesting Greek word koinonia. Is it not the oneness that we share with Christ, the communion that we have with Christ, or the fellowship that we have with Christ, that oneness that we are sharing with Him? This cup of blessing that we bless, whereby as I drink, I am identifying myself with Him. For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of the one bread. For the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? So this communion with Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ and the body of Christ, whereby we become one with Him and whereby we also become one with each other. As we all eat of the same bread, as we all drink of the same cup, we are becoming one with each other. Joined together in communion, joined together in commonness, joined together in fellowship, as we are all of us joined together with Jesus. That oneness in the body of Christ. And surely the communion service symbolizes it more graphically than anything else within the church. All partakers of the same bread, all partakers of the same cup, becoming one with Him and thus with each other. Behold, Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? Now, the idea of bringing in your peace offering and offering it unto God, the whole idea behind it was that of communion with God. So you bring it into the priest. He would take and butcher it and would cut a portion of the meat and give it to you, and you'd take it out and roast it, and then you would sit down and eat it. Now you've brought it and you've offered it to God. The fat and all was taken, burnt on the altar, and the smoke went up as a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. The priest took his portion, but now you have your portion, and with your family, you're sitting there eating this roast beef or this roast lamb. And as you're eating together, the idea is, hey, God has received a part of this, and I am receiving a part of this, and so I am becoming one with God. For their whole concept of eating together was that of becoming a part of each other. You see, I take a loaf of bread, I break it, and I give you a part of it, and I take a part of it, and you eat it, and I eat it. It's one loaf, but we are both eating from the same loaf. Maybe we have a bowl of soup here, and we're both dipping our bread in the soup and eating it. Now, the bread that is nourishing me is also nourishing you. The bread that is being assimilated and becoming a part of the chemistry of my body is also becoming a part of the chemistry of your body. So the same loaf of bread is becoming part of you as it is assimilated into your body, but it's also becoming a part of me. Therefore, we're a part of each other because we are both being strengthened and both of us are assimilating the same loaf of bread. And they really saw this, and it was to them something that didn't need to be explained. It was just an accepted thing. So when I offer a part of this meat to God, and it is burnt on the altar unto the Lord, it's God partaking of it, and now I'm eating of it, so I am becoming one with God. Beautiful thought. Beautiful concept. And a beautiful awareness of becoming one with God. Now, we have that every time we partake of communion. I am becoming a part of Jesus Christ. He's becoming a part of me as we commune together and as I receive the cup and as I receive the bread. But also, we are becoming a part of each other as we do it. And so Israel after the flesh, when they eat of the sacrifices, they are partakers of the altar. They're becoming one with God. What say I then? That an idol is anything? Now we're going back to chapter 8, and the whole thing started as he was talking about them eating meat in the house of idols and some weak brother going by and seeing them eating there and thinking, whoa, you know, he can do it, then I can do it, you know, and stumbling because his conscience would bother him. You say you have freedom. And unfortunately, they were exercising this freedom of eating in the temple of the various gods there in Corinth. I have freedom in Christ. No, I have liberty and all. And so Paul is coming back to that now. What shall I say then? That an idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. That is, the pagan sacrifices in the pagan temples are offerings unto the demons. They're not offerings to God. And I would not that you should have koinonia, fellowship, communion with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partaker of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do you dare to provoke the Lord to jealousy? Do you think that you are stronger than he? And so Paul is really coming down on the practice of some of those Corinthians of eating meat in the idols' temples, in the pagan temples that were there in Corinth. An interesting thing. In these pagan temples, Paul declared that actually the offerings were made unto devils or unto demons, literally demons. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 17, Actually, he said in verse 16, they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God. To gods whom they knew not, and to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. And of the rock that begat thee, thou art not mindful. For he has forgotten the God that formed him. So, the concept is that the worship of these false gods, the worship of these idols, was in reality the worship of demons. There was in Harper's Magazine many years ago an interesting article called I Saw the King of Hell. It was taken from the book Through Forbidden Tibet. And the author talks about going with the religious leaders of Tibet in disguise to a ceremony that is held annually, or was held annually, where they called forth the various demons. And he describes these demons as they appeared, their form. And then he describes, as they call forth the king of hell, it is a very spine-tingling description. Awesome. A lot of people say, well, you know, all roads lead to God. And those people are so sincere in their worship. Though they don't believe in Jesus, surely God will, you know, recognize their sincerity and all. Because what difference does it make? Confucius, Buddha, you know, or whatever. You know, aren't we all seeking after God? Well, that isn't the concept that we receive from the Bible. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Paul said, they are sacrificing unto devils. And in the same token, as you eat of the sacrifices made to God and you become one with God, if you're eating of the sacrifices made to devils, then you're becoming one with the devil, with the demon that is represented in that idol. And I would not have you to have this koinonia, this fellowship, this communion, this oneness, Paul said, with devils. Therefore, you cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and of the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Now, he is no doubt thinking of this 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy, the thing that we just quoted or read to you, because again, it says that they provoked the Lord to jealousy in sacrificing to devils. And he said, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Dare we to oppose him? Now, all things are lawful for me. He comes back to this refrain. But all things are not expedient. Yes, you may prove that it's all right, you know, that I am living under grace and I believe in Jesus Christ and therefore it's all right, and you may enter your argument and yes, it may be lawful, but it isn't expedient. It's going to slow you down. It's going to hinder your progress. If you're running in the race, run to win and don't take on extra baggage or weight that will slow you down. It's not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. There are things that tear me down and do not build me up. There are things that take me away from Christ and do not bring me closer to Christ. And my desire is to get close to him. And therefore, though it may be lawful, you may prove that it is all right, it is taking me away from my fellowship with him. It isn't building me up in him or building him up in me. Therefore, though it may be lawful, wisdom tells me, don't do it. It'll slow you down. It will tear you down. I'm desiring to win the race. I'm desiring to be found in Christ. built up in him. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's profit. Don't just live for yourself. Don't just think about yourself. But think about others and live for others. Whatsoever is sold in the market, go ahead and eat it. Don't ask questions for your conscience sake. Now, a lot of the meat that was sold in the butcher shops in Corinth were used first in sacrifices in the pagan temples. So when you went to the meat market to buy meat, you say, I like a pound of hamburger. Was that hamburger offered as a sacrifice in the temple? Paul said, shut up. Don't ask that kind of stuff. Just buy it, take it home, and eat it for your conscience sake. What you don't know won't hurt you. And so for conscience sake, just don't ask questions. Because really, of course, you know it doesn't matter. But if you ask and are asking those kind of questions, then you're going to find yourself tripping over your own conscience. So eat. Don't ask questions. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now, if any unbeliever invites you to a feast, and you're obligated to go, whatever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. So he sets before you a big steak. Did you offer this meat as a sacrifice to a pagan god? So Paul said, hey, don't ask those questions. Just eat it. Eat what's set before you. Don't ask the questions for your conscience sake. Now, if the fellow, when he sets it before you, say, we offered this to Zeus, then Paul said, don't eat it. Not that it would hurt you, but it might hurt the guy that offered it to you, seeing your liberty. So if they volunteer the information, then say, no, thank you, so that you're not stumbling him or offending him. So if any man says unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat it not for his sake that showed it to you, and for your conscience sake. Now the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, but conscience, I say, not always your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? For if I, by grace, be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Paul said, hey, everything is sanctified with thanksgiving. You know, say, Lord, just bless this. Now, I thank you for it. Then it's sanctified. But yet, it's going to hurt someone else. They're going to be stumbled by it. So, again, the law of love. Not wanting to be an offense, not wanting to hurt the weaker brethren. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Here's the principle. Now, people who have principles don't need laws. You know, if you're living by the right principles, you don't need rules, you don't need laws. This is the principle. So now we're getting, this is what you want to really take note of. This is the heart of it. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And you're right. If I can do it to the glory of God, I'm right. If I can't do it to the glory of God, then I better not do it. But whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. And give no offense, neither to the Jews or to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. And so as Paul said, don't live for your own profit, but for others. He says, this is the way I live. It's you know, my desire is that people might be saved. And so I live for their sakes, not for my own sake, not to satisfy my own flesh, not to live after my own desires, but I restrict myself. I live a careful life in order that I might win others to Jesus Christ. And so if that is the goal of my life, to bring others to the Lord, then that will be the governing factor in what I allow or don't allow, what I do or don't do, what I eat or don't eat, what I drink or don't drink. Not to bring an offense, walking in love, thinking of others, not thinking of myself. God help me to win this race and to live in love, walking in love, serving in love.
It's story time with Pastor Chuck, and this one's a giant adventure. Listen and read along as Pastor Chuck Smith unfolds the story of David and Goliath to every boy and girl. Journey with young David as he faces a big, scary giant, and see how his faith in a big, powerful God made all the difference. Discover why David trusted the Lord with all his heart and won the battle for Israel, even when the odds seemed impossible. This story will help you teach your children how they too can trust in God and be used by Him in amazing ways. Perfect for ages 2 to 8, this book includes 40 full-color illustrated pages and an audio CD narrated by Pastor Chuck himself. Order The Story of David and Goliath today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. That's 1-800-272-WORD. Plant God's Word in their hearts, one story at a time.
May the hand of the Lord be upon your life to guide and to direct in all that we do. May God help us to consider Him. Not whether or not is it right or wrong, but is it pleasing or would it please Him? Is this the best? God help us not to be satisfied with the mediocre, but that we might run to win. And thus, may the Lord be with you today, this week, as we really seek to live a disciplined life for Jesus Christ, laying aside the flesh, the things of the flesh, the body and its desires, keeping it under in order that we might live and walk after the Spirit and the things of the Spirit, the things of the eternal. And thus may the Lord reward you and bless you. As you walk in fellowship with Him, may you experience His touch upon your life. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of 1 Corinthians on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning 1 Corinthians 10. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the
program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.